Please turn in your Bibles to John chapter 3 if you're not still there already. John chapter 3. What a great day and what a great opportunity we have to be together once again. And it's always a special time when we can come together with our brothers and sisters in Christ. If you are traveling through our area, then you likely are not getting to spend today with the people that you normally would spend today with, and hopefully we can fill in a small way as a substitute for that. We thank you for being here. Thank you for taking time out of your trip to come and meet with us. And if you're just passing through, we wish you well. If you're visiting from the area and are looking for a family of believers to call your own, to be encouraged by and to encourage, we would love for you to consider us. And we would love to love on you and make you family and do life with you. As you can tell by the look of my profile, not my Facebook profile, but my profile, I enjoy things like all-you-can-eat wing night or bottomless chips and salsa. Like, you know, those things really appeal to me. So some of you may enjoy all-you-can-eat seafood buffets or things of that nature. And when we get those kinds of things in our mind, we get the concept of, you know, I can eat an unlimited amount of chicken wings tonight. If I want to, I can eat without limit. And or maybe you've got a credit card that offers cash back, and or miles, and they offer unlimited miles. You know, you can earn just miles and miles and miles without limit. Well, when we think about those things, of course, those are catchy ways to advertise those things to get us to believe that we are literally getting an unlimited amount of things for whatever it is that we are purchasing. But in reality, those things do have limits, right? I mean, I can only, as big as my belly is, I can only fit so many chicken wings inside it, right? There comes a point when my belly, my body is going to tell me, no mas, we're not going to have any more chicken wings come in here. There's going to come a time when, you know, that those chips and salsa start to want to come back up. Well, we know we've reached the limit of the chips that we can put inside. And in order to earn those unlimited miles, well, you have to spend more money. And I don't know about you, but mine is limited. There's only so much money that I can spend in order to earn those miles. So those things do have limits. There's lots of other examples we could talk about that would really illustrate this same concept, but there's something really neat about the passage that John read for us just a few moments ago. He talked about John, the baptizer, pointing everyone to Jesus. This is kind of John's final testimony. This is his time to say, everything that I've lived my life for up to this point has been about preparing the way for Jesus, and it's time to transition everything over to Him. I must decrease, and He must increase. And so everybody, He begins to point everyone to Jesus, and there's something interesting. It's only John that says this. But he says something very interesting about God, about Jesus, and and the Holy Spirit. He says that God, through in Jesus, they give the Holy Spirit without measure. And when God says it's without measure, you can believe that it's without measure, right? That it's a different situation than my tummy and those chicken wings, right? When God says, I'm going to give you something, and it's going to be endless, it's going to be unlimited, it's not going to have any measure to it. And what God says that He will give to us in that unlimited, endless supply is the Holy Spirit. That's just really interesting to me. I mean, it's really kind of impossible for me to fathom that. It's really impossible for me to fathom anything that has no end or anything that has no limit. And yet that's what God is telling us about the way that He will give the Holy Spirit. We learn in Acts chapter 2 and verse 38 that at our cleansing we receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. And here in John 3 we're told that we have that without measure, without end, without limit. Turn with me to Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5. I want us to look at a very familiar passage to us, one that gets looked at quite a bit for a little bit of a different reason than the one that I want us to look at it this morning. But Ephesians chapter 5, I want you to keep that concept from John 3 in your mind, that the Spirit is given without measure. And look with me at Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 15. Where Paul says, therefore be careful how you walk, not as unwise men, but as wise, making the most of your time, because the days are evil. So then do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And do not get drunk with wine, for that is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit. Speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody with your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks for all things in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to God, even the Father, and be subject to one another in the fear of Christ. So we turn to this passage often, and usually it's within the context of how we as a congregation are choosing to worship God in song. Right? That's our typical reason for coming to this passage, and we'll use it to say, well, the command is to sing. It's to only sing, and so that's what we're going to do. We're going to sing. Which I agree with the application here, but I don't want us to turn to this passage and think about this as being only a singing passage or only a passage that deals with congregational worship, because in truth, that's really not the main point of this chapter. It's not the main point of this paragraph. Really, the command that I don't want us to miss, the command that Paul is trying to get us to see is the one that's found in verse 18. And the command is, don't get drunk with wine. That's dissipation. Instead of that, here's the command, be filled with the Spirit. And what we have in the remaining verses in that paragraph is how it is going to manifest itself when one is obeying the command to be filled with the Spirit. Keep in mind, John said he gives the Spirit without measure. And now Paul is telling us through the Spirit to be filled with the Spirit. And when you are filled with the Spirit, here's what's going to flow out of that. You are going to speak to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody with your heart to the Lord. Have you ever just been walking down the street or driving in your car and all of a sudden God is so good pops in your head, and next thing you know it's coming out your mouth or whatever song it may be, a song of praise that fills your heart, and next thing you know it's coming right out of your mouth. I mean, even if you're not a good singer, and you only sing in the car with your windows rolled up, it happens, doesn't it? When you allow yourself to be filled with the Spirit, what comes out of that is melodies of praise. You know what else comes out of the heart of someone who is filled with the Holy Spirit? They're always giving thanks for all things. They are just the most appreciative, thankful people that you'll ever meet. Somebody that is filled with the Spirit is someone who is going to be constantly giving thanks. Thanks to God, thanks for the various other things that people do for us. They're just going to be filled with thankful hearts. And they're also going to subject themselves to one another in the fear of Christ. When you're filled with the Spirit, you're going to subject yourself to one another. And then he spends the rest of this chapter and the first part of the next chapter kind of fleshing that out for us. What does it mean to subject yourself to one another? Well, here's what it looks like as a wife. Wives, be subject to your own husbands as to the Lord. Husbands, be subject to your leader, to Christ. There is still this subjection there. And so he points out, here's what it looks like as a wife. Here's what it looks like as a husband. Children, subject yourselves to your parents. Fathers, make sure that you subject yourself to the Lord in the way that you raise your children. It does not say, raise your children in whatever way you think is best. It says, no, raise your children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Be subject in the way that you raise your children. Slaves, be subject to your masters. Masters, be subject to your master, recognizing that you have a master as well. But all of that flows out of a heart of someone who has been filled with the Spirit. Someone who has allowed themselves to be filled with the Spirit. And then, when we are filled with the Spirit, we get to enjoy what's referred to as the fruit of the Spirit. Let's look in Galatians chapter 5. A passage that's probably familiar to us. Galatians chapter 5 talks about the fruit of the Spirit. A lot of times I think we look at this passage maybe a little differently than we should. Maybe we missed the point of what Paul's trying to tell us here about these things. Sometimes we look at the list of things that start in verse 22 of Galatians chapter 5. We look at those as qualities or characteristics that we need to exhibit. Right? If I'm going to be someone who is led by the Spirit of God, who's walking by the Spirit of God, then I need to be adding these qualities to my life. And then once I've added all these qualities to my life, then I can say that I'm walking according to the Spirit. When really what this passage is trying to tell us is that when you, like Paul told the Ephesians, like he's told us here today, be filled with the Spirit, and when you are filled with the Spirit, these are the things that you get from Him. These are the blessings you get to enjoy from Him. I plant a cucumber seed, and eventually, I will get the benefit of reaping, harvesting, cutting, slathering with salt, and putting in my mouth a delicious cucumber. Right? That's what I get from that whole process. And yet, here Paul says, when you allow yourself to be filled with the Spirit, these are the things that you will have in your life. These are the things that will that you will receive from all of that, that you will enjoy as the fruit. He says in verse 22, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. Now those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live by the Spirit, let us also walk by the Spirit. And I want to look at a couple of examples in Scripture that kind of show that it's the Spirit that it's giving us these things. Right? When we are filled with the Spirit, He is producing these things in us. Look at Acts chapter 13. Acts chapter 13, this is Paul on his first missionary journey. He and Barnabas, they've gone to places like Antioch of Pisidia and Iconium and Lystra. And he's just left Antioch of Pisidia. And it says in verse 48, when the Gentiles heard this, they began rejoicing and glorifying the word of the Lord, and as many as had been appointed to eternal life believed. And the word of the Lord was being spread through the whole region. But the Jews incited the devout women of prominence and the leading men of the city and instigated a persecution against Paul and Barnabas and drove them out of their district. But they shook off the dust of their feet in protest against them and went to Iconium. Notice verse 52. And the disciples were continually filled with joy and with the Holy Spirit. So there's these disciples that believe based on the time that Paul spends in Antioch of Pisidia. He preaches to them the gospel. The Jews are upset about the fact that now Paul is opening the door to the Gentiles in that area. And there are so many people that believe, and they're thrilled to hear this message of salvation. And so the Jews stir up this crowd, and they end up having to go to another city. That happens. It's same song, different verse. It's the same way that it happens with Paul in almost every city where there is a Jewish presence. And so Paul goes on to Iconium, but there's these believers here. There's these brand new babes in Christ. And here's what it says. It says that they were continually filled with joy and with the Holy Spirit. Who do you think's producing that joy in them? Is there anything going on around them that should cause them to be full of joy? I mean, yes, they have been redeemed. I'm not discounting that at all, but look at the surroundings around them. Everyone is upset about the fact that they have believed and have been baptized. But they're continually filled with joy and with the Holy Spirit. Look in Romans chapter 15. You should have noticed something that Paul says to the Romans about his desires for them. This is what he wants for them. He's kind of closing up his letter here. He's talked about earlier in the chapter bearing with those weaknesses of some, doing everything that we can for the good of our neighbor, leading to his edification. And he says this at the end of that section, chapter 15, verse 13. Now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that you will abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. You see that? Are you producing the joy? Are you producing the peace? Are you producing the hope? Or is God producing that in you through the power of the Holy Spirit? And your responsibility in that, my responsibility in that, is to be filled with the Holy Spirit. To be filled with the Holy Spirit. And my question that I'd like to ask each of us, including myself today, is, are you filled with the Holy Spirit? Am I filled with the Holy Spirit? We've been commanded to do that. A Holy Spirit-inspired apostle commanded us to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And my question is, are we obeying that command? Well, if we are, then we'll be experiencing what we've talked about as the fruit of the Spirit. If I am full of the Holy Spirit, that Holy Spirit that God gives to me without limit, without measure, if I am filled up with that Spirit, then I will experience love like no other. I will experience joy even in the face of tribulation. I will experience peace, both internal peace and peace with others, even if that means that I'm not always able to please everyone and get along with everyone. If I am filled up with the unlimited power of the Holy Spirit, then I'll be able to control myself. I'll be able to control my tongue. I'll be able to control my eyes. I'll be able to control my anger that I feel sometimes when I see certain things happen. If I'm filled up with the Holy Spirit, then what's going to come out of me is kindness and goodness and faithfulness. I want you to notice a contrast. Look over in 2 Corinthians chapter 12. I want us to look just for a second at the antithesis of being filled with the Spirit. It's another list of attitudes and behaviors. And I just want us to set the two in contrast. In 2 Corinthians chapter 12, in verse 19 beginning, Paul says, "All this time you have been thinking that we are defending ourselves to you. Actually, it is in the sight of God that we have been speaking in Christ, and all for your upbuilding, beloved." What we've been trying to do is build you up. What we've been trying to do is fill you with the Spirit. What we've been trying to do is point you to Christ in the way that He would have you to be. And yet, verse 20, he says, "I am afraid that perhaps when I come, I may find you to be not what I wish, and may be found by you to be not what you wish, that perhaps there will be strife, jealousy, angry tempers, disputes, slanders, gossip, arrogance, disturbances." You see the very sharp contrast that we have before us today as we ask ourselves the question, am I filled with the Holy Spirit? If you go back over to Galatians chapter 5, there's another list that, that's right there within the same chapter, within the same context of the fruit of the Spirit. And he says, starting in verse 19, the deeds of the flesh are evident, which are immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmities, strife, jealousy, outbursts of anger, disputes, dissensions, factions, envying, drunkenness, carousing, and things like these, of which I forewarn you, just as I have forewarned you, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. Do you see now why it's so important for us to talk about this today? What is it that is present in my life? That's going to help me answer the question, am I filled with the Holy Spirit? Am I being led by the Holy Spirit? Am I being fed by the Holy Spirit? If the answer to that is yes, it will be evident in my life in that I will be experiencing love and joy and peace. And I'll be patient with other people. I'll be kind. I'll be good. I'll be faithful. I'll be able to control the urges of my flesh, not to give provision to my flesh. But if I'm not filled with the Holy Spirit, there will be things like envy and jealousy present within me. There will be, instead of peace, there will be strife. There will be dissension. Instead of joy, there will be complaining. Instead of being filled with the Spirit and opening my mouth with melodies of praise to our God, I will open my mouth and outbursts of anger will come out. And it doesn't even have to be my mouth, right? My fingertips can do a lot of talking, helping to answer the question, am I filled with the Holy Spirit? Or am I allowing the flesh to take control? You guys can probably help me answer that question for me better than I can. Perhaps I could help you answer that question for yourself. You know, there's an old movie where a little cricket told a little wooden boy that if he was ever in trouble and didn't know what to do, he should give a little whistle. And always let your conscience be your guide, right? That's the way the Christian should be thinking about the Holy Spirit. Is the Spirit always being allowed to be your guide? Or are you choosing rather to allow the flesh to control? There's an old story. I'm sure many of you have probably heard it or heard some variation of it, where grandfather was talking to his grandson and he said that there was a war going on within him, a war between two wolves. One wolf was good and kind and just and faithful, loyal. The other wolf was evil. Lacked self-control. Would attack, try to injure others, even within their own pack. And the grandson asked his grandfather, Which one of the two wolves is going to be the one who wins the battle within you? You always have to pause dramatically before you answer. And the grandfather says, the one that I feed. You see that? the one that I feed is going to be the one who wins the battle for me. And so I think it's important for us to ask this question: which of the two am I allowing to fill me up? What's available to you and to me is a spirit that comes without limit, without end, without measure. It's available to us. But in order for us to be filled with the Spirit, we've got to remove the flesh, don't we? Otherwise, we'll be partly flesh and partly spirit. But that's not what the command is for the believer. The command is, be filled with the Spirit. And when we are, we'll know. Because we'll experience all these things that we've talked about today. And when we're not, well, we'll see some of these other things present within us. Factions and envy, anger, strife, disputes, offenses. Which one are we allowing to lead us, to guide us, to fill us? If it's the Spirit, then God's really going to do something amazing with this group of people. But if it's the flesh, not only are we going to struggle in carrying out the tasks that God has given to us to do individually, collectively, as a community of believers, but I just want us to make sure that we don't miss this point where Paul says, those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. Do you see how important it is for us today to empty ourselves of our flesh, our desires, our lusts, our passions, to remove those things so that we can be filled with the Spirit and be in obedience to the command and inherit an everlasting kingdom. A kingdom like the Spirit without limit or end. And I just want to leave you with that question today. Are you filled with you, or are you filled with the Spirit? Let's encourage each other to be in obedience to this very, very important command. If you're here this morning and you know that you are not filled with the Spirit, it may be because, well, you've never been baptized into Christ. You've never had your sins washed away. You've never done what you needed to do to enter into a covenant relationship with the Lord. Or maybe it's because you've done that at some point in the past, but you have been allowing the flesh to control you instead of letting the Spirit guide you and fill you. For either situation, there is a remedy, and that is to turn yourself to God. And ask Him to forgive you of your sins, to either be buried with Christ in baptism for the very first time, or whether it's to say, God, please forgive me and please fill me with your Spirit without measure. I want love. I want joy. I want peace. I want patience. I don't want to blow up at every customer service representative that calls my house. I don't want to blow up at my family when I come home because I've been reserving all that energy for the person that I really wanted to punch in the nose. I don't punch my family in the nose, by the way. I just realized how that sounded. I don't want those things. I want what the Spirit provides. Well, ask Him. And He will fill you up with the Spirit. More than you can handle of the Spirit. I'll be standing down front here. Some of our elders will be in the back. If you need to talk about anything, need to make your life right with the Lord, we invite you to come as we stand and sing.